Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a randomized clinical trial that found that patients with shoulder impingement syndrome who underwent a thoracic spine manipulation had an immediate decrease in symptoms. However, no differences in scapular kinematics were identified. Shoulder impingement syndrome is a common condition associated with abnormal scapular kinematics. This condition is often treated using rehabilitation exercises and sometimes manual therapy. Specifically, high-velocity, low-amplitude thoracic spine manipulation is a manual therapy technique that has been investigated for treating shoulder conditions. However, the contribution and effectiveness of thoracic spine manipulation for treatment of shoulder impingement syndrome has not been well studied. Therefore, Hayek and colleagues conducted a randomized controlled study to assess the immediate effects of thoracic spine manipulation on pain and scapular movement during elevation and lowering of the arm in individuals with shoulder impingement syndrome. 50 participants with shoulder impingement syndrome and 47 asymptomatic participants were randomized into two groups: manipulation or sham treatment. For the sham treatment, a therapist applied all the same forces as done for the thrust manipulation, but a thrust was not used. Scapular movements were analyzed during elevation and lowering of the arm in the sagittal plane. The authors used pain scores to assess shoulder pain during arm movement pre- and post-intervention. For those in the shoulder impingement group, shoulder pain was immediately reduced after thoracic spine manipulation and sham interventions, despite no differences in the average pain improvement between the treatment groups. More participants had pain relief after thoracic spine manipulation than after sham intervention. For some scapular movements, the authors observed subtle differences between pre- and post-intervention. However, the small magnitude of the differences failed to meet a level of clinical importance defined based on existing research. The clinical rationale for thoracic spine manipulation is related to the concept of regional interdependence proposed by Weiner et al. He suggested that unrelated impairments in an anatomical region may contribute to or be associated with the patient's primary complaints. For example, alterations in the thoracic spine and ribs may contribute to shoulder impingement syndrome symptoms. The authors demonstrated that shoulder pain in individuals with shoulder impingement syndrome is immediately decreased after thoracic spine manipulation, supporting this concept of regional interdependence. However, there was not a clinically important difference in scapular movements following thoracic spine manipulation. This suggests that thoracic spine manipulation provides little to no adjustment in biomechanical motion of the scapula. Therefore, the mechanism by which this pain relief is achieved is unclear. It is possible that neurophysiological effects of joint manipulation may alter sensory information from the shoulder to the central nervous system. Future studies should work to identify the biologic and mechanical mechanisms by which spinal manipulation techniques decrease pain in participants with shoulder impingement syndrome. Additionally, the long-term effects of spinal manipulation should also be characterized. Findings from this study raise additional questions in our understanding of manual therapies and highlighting the importance of considering regional interdependence when evaluating and treating shoulder conditions. The study suggests that the use of thoracic spine manipulation may be a useful technique to manage pain in patients with shoulder impingement syndrome. This past week, we also had one other post on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. This post discussed a study that found that male semi-professional soccer athletes have a higher prevalence of femoral acetabular impingement, as measured by the alpha angle, than male amateur soccer athletes. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a blog post by the Moms team about the validity of the sideline dropstick test, a simple measure of reaction time among patients with possible concussions. If you have a question you'd like us to address on this podcast, send us a message via social media. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.